Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Health Wealth Podcast. We've got another great episode this week, another guest episode. So, first off, I've got Barry with me, first of all, co-host. Good to see you back, Barry.
Thanks, Ryan. Great to be back. It's been a busy time, but yeah, always looking forward to another episode. So I'm glad to be here and looking forward to our guest coming on, sharing a story and getting on to discussing that journey and talking about the mental side of things as well, which I think is really important. And looking forward to getting into it. I'm actually, I was just looking at the clock there. I am 21 hours fasted, so from last night, and still going strong. So, I know we talk about that a lot here, but I think after this I'll be ready for dinner. So, stopped a little bit earlier last night, and no, felt good today, felt productive.
Awesome. Good. And our guest today is David, who's going to talk to us, as you said, about things mindset and being successful and in business and health. We're going to tie it all together. So, David, first off, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, my man. Thank you guys so much for having me here.
Thank you for giving us some of your time. So let's jump in first with give us a bit of background on yourself and your story, and then we can start to get into some of the other details.
Sure. So I'm super excited here. I'm 23. I'm from the US and I've been in digital marketing for about 7 years. I started the business when I was roughly 16 years old in high school and pushed through college. I actually didn't drop out. I had the thoughts many, many times, but the conversations with my parents didn't always go as planned. So I pushed through it. I made the best of what I can in that moment. And so here I am today. Actually, it's been about almost a year since I graduated college, and I've been able to really hone in on my skill for marketing and actually build a business, the way I want it to be. And I've worked with some of the world's top online coaches and marketers, people like, Steve Larson, Cole Gordon. We've done Peter Taunton, who owns Snap Fitness. We've done Bobby Castro, who's in Florida, who does a lot of real estate. And so, we've really, really been able to hone in a large clientele, but also been able to help them to impact other people with their programs as well. Hence the name, Impact Launch. I don't know if you guys can see that too well, but it's always been the focus of Impact. So, for the past 7 years, that's what we've just been working on.
That's awesome. So while you were in college, you were basically setting up and running this business as well at the same time.
I remember in between classes, or even during class, I would be messaging clients, and in between classes, I'd be taking meetings. And so I would use the early part of the day for college, just get all that stuff out of the way, get that done. And then I would make my way home because I never stayed on campus, but I would make my way home, grind out the rest of the night. And at the time, it was the grind, grind, grind kind of thing, but like I had to do it. I had no other choice. I would be up late, and that's actually where my most productive hours of the day would come through. And then I would have to wake up early, so my sleep would be optimized some days and not as optimized the other days. But we'll definitely get into that.
Definitely. That's amazing. A great achievement, and that you still finished college as well. Because, like you said, a lot of people would have been tempted to just put that to one side. What did you actually what did you qualify it in? What's your qualifications?
So it's funny because a lot of people thought that I was in marketing, which would make sense because I do own a marketing company, but it actually wasn't. I only took, I think, one or maximum two marketing classes, and those were because they were required. But my actual major is leadership and management. So I took that because I feel like that's where I really stood and it would help me with whatever I was doing. Because at that point, I was like, if I'm going into college, I might as well just do something that's going to benefit me. And it was actually the shortest major. So within senior year, I would just take normal, easy classes that I would finish all the work done in time or, as quickly as possible and be able to actually focus on the important thing that, I was spending most of my time doing. So.
Absolutely. And I suppose, I mean, leadership and management, I suppose, is part of any business, but I suppose with marketing, it would tie in, wouldn't it, with it? Where did you get your, obviously you didn't take marketing at college, so where did you learn your marketing skills and getting into that?
That's a good question. So when I first started, I didn't realize how important it was to know marketing. And what does that even mean, right? Well, copywriting, sales, how to actually write sales messages, and how to show the value of what you have to offer. I didn't really realize that that was really important. I thought you could just, write a bunch of just jargon and put it on Facebook and that would work. Well, I learned that the hard way because the market changes so quickly, and obviously that's really not how you do it. So over the years, I actually what I did was I learned the systems of running Facebook ads and running funnels and stuff like that, but I never focused on copywriting. And until recently, a couple of years ago, I actually started to double down really on what marketing was with copywriting, sales, and putting all of my attention into that, because I'm a very logical, technical guy. I come from that background, and so that stuff is super easy to me. That comes as second nature. But then I really had to actually understand copywriting, right, and how to actually put words down on a paper that will persuade people, that will convince them, that will teach lessons and stories. So then I hired a copywriting coach who's been mentored by Kevin Helbert, and who's done over 30 million in online sales. And that took off really, really well. And then also joining a couple of courses and learning on YouTube as well. People like Dan Kennedy, reading the book by over here, Eugene Schwartz, Breakthrough Advertising, one of the best books I recommend anyone to get. It's a little bit pricey, but these strategies don't change because they're the foundations, right? You can learn all the tactics, but you want to learn the foundations from what I like to call rich dead marketers. Those are the people who are the foundations, the originals, right? And so all of these don't change. They're timeless, they're evergreen. And so for anyone who's looking to learn how to get into marketing, learn from rich dead copywriters. Eugene Schwartz is one of them. David Ogilvy is another one. Dan Kennedy is still alive, but he's also, one of the OGs that is very successful as well.
Are you struggling to lose weight? Have you tried all of the fad diets with no success? This is the one reason that you keep failing and gaining the weight back. You're doing a diet instead of a lifestyle. Nobody keeps up a diet long term. Eventually, it becomes too much and you go back to your old eating ways and the weight comes back on. This is where our 12-week fat loss plan is completely different. This is not a diet. It's a 12-week journey of learning how to implement simple, healthy and sustainable eating habits that allow you to maintain your fat loss for the long term. Diets are based on the principle of eat less, move more, which are the two main ingredients of increasing hunger. And in the long term, hunger will always win and your diet will fail. We have a very different approach. There is zero calorie counting involved. You do not need to restrict the amount of food you eat, you need to eat the right foods. The reason our method does not fail is because we're not starving your body. We give the body everything it needs to be satiated, to be healthy, and to increase our metabolic rate, which all contributes to easy, consistent weight loss. Sound too good to be true? Fortunately, we have plenty of testimonials on our website from clients who've already experienced how well this works. What do you get with the 12-week fat loss plan? First off, you get an introductory call with an expert health coach. You get personalized nutrition and exercise plans, and you get 4 weekly check-in calls to keep you on track. 24/7 support on WhatsApp, and most of all, you get the knowledge to put in place these new habits and lifestyle that are going to improve your health and weight for the rest of your life. Get signed up today by clicking the link below or in the description.
That's great. You took the impetus yourself at such a young age, and started that. And so do you think your childhood ingrained certain things in you that helped you with that, having that certain mindset to want to succeed and to do that? Because most 16-year-olds aren't going to be doing that. So to start a business is one thing, and then to take the impetus to go out and learn and gain these skills and to continue with college and get that finished as well. Do you think that you just happened to bump into the things you wanted to, or do you think, you were brought up maybe with certain things instilled in you?
That's a very good question, because In all honesty, like I've been very fortunate with how I've grown up. I mean, my father and my mother just have worked tirelessly their entire lives just to give us the life we have now. So, you know, I'm definitely very fortunate. And I think as I got deeper into the journey, I started to actually really enjoy it. Because one thing that people don't really tell you is, yeah, you could set these goals and, you know, these endpoints, but there really is no endpoint because once you hit the goal, you realize that there's obviously more to it. There's always new levels to achieve, right? So once you feel like you've gotten to the top of your level, realistically, you're at the bottom of the next level, right? And so there's always, it's like a stairwell, there's always more to climb. And so once I actually realized that the fun comes from the journey, that's when things changed. Because you can get everything that you want, but then what more is there to life, right? If you have all the cars, you have the house, the family, right? All the possessions and everything, like what else is there, right? And so, like I said, I mean, once I really realized that, everything changed for how I operate because I knew that there wasn't an end goal. It's just a non, it's, it, there's no ending. It's just continuing every single day, right? And as humans, we're basically goal seeking. Animals, right? Like we always have to be productive and achieve certain things in order for us to feel like the person that we are striving to be. That's our success mechanism. And so once you realize that, that's when you get up every single morning and have a different outlook on your life.
Yeah, I agree completely. It's, you know, like you said there, is we have a similar approach in terms of health, in that it's the journey. You know, people fail in the health space when they set themselves, say, a goal weight, and they hit that weight, and then what now? And they go back. And like you said, you know, it applies across every part of life, doesn't it? Is the journey is much more important than the goals. And as you said, you have to have an goals are fine, but you have to then have a next one, a next one, a next one to have that mindset. How do you think people can start to instill that mindset in themselves to really change the way they think to be more like that? Because I think most people don't think like that.
It's a good question. I think social media puts on such a facade of what running a business and maintaining your health really is. And so once you actually get into the weeds of it, it's a lot more different than it may seem, right? Everyone's trying to sell the dream, sell the lifestyle, but that's not really the goal. And what you will realize is the more and more you do things, the more you realize that it is the journey, right? It is goal seeking. Right. But then there are also more goals to achieve. And it not just in business, but also in health. Right. I mean, you can't just go to the gym, you know, for 1 year and then say, okay, I'm going to be fit for the rest of my life. Right. You can't just take vitamins for a week and say, you know, I'm healthy. Right. I actually went through a very big challenge roughly this time last year with like my tonsils. And that we can get into that here in a little bit, but that took a big toll on my life. But if I had known what I know now, you know, a lot of that stuff could have been preventable because it's a lot of the consistent effort, right? It's more of the small increment things that you do today and tomorrow and the next day that lead to the actual big result, as we all have seen. But you know, if you really think about it, that's really what it comes down to, right? There's no like one solution that fits all.
Yeah, completely. It's those, as you say, it applies across everything. You know, it's the same when we're coming from the health side as well, that just those little changes soon add up. It's, you know, those things add up into big things, and people want to make a big change right now because they want it. We have that instant gratification society, and people like, okay, I'll try and start a business, but if it doesn't work in 2 weeks, I'm out. You know, or if I haven't lost all this weight in 2 weeks, I'm out. Whereas it's like, no, little changes, add up, and in the long term you reach the goals you want. We have to think a bit more long term.
Yeah, and it's also about celebrating the small wins as well, because that gives you energy and momentum too. And I'm actually terrible for that. In my journey, I'm trying to get a bit better, but I'll accumulate a series of small wins, and you know, not
Yeah.
really take the energy from that. And well, I'm actually further on than what I did than what I was last week or last month, and use that as positive energy to keep going. And I can completely identify with what David is saying about that. And it is about the journey, and that there is no actual end goal. It's just a continuous journey, you know, especially you know, personally speaking, through my athletic career, it was, you know, I'm the best in my club now. Right, now I need to be the best in Scotland. Right, I'm the best in Scotland. Now I need to be one of the best in the UK. And then you strive to be one of the best in the UK. And then so on and so on. So and also relates to another point you made about the social media and seeing the end product. It's not about that. Well, people will look at that and say, well, I want the end product, but they're not willing to go through the journey. It's the journey that's most important, and that's what builds you. So you, in terms of your mindset, I completely identify with that. And I think people need to take a step back and say, well, actually, a lot of that is, you know, not all of it, but quite a lot of it is like a fantasy. And, you know, when they don't have it without going through the journey, that's when people mentally, they start to fold, or they start to delve into other things and take the easy road out and, you know, get addicted to certain things that don't actually do them any good. So I think the point you made about the journey is really salient, really on point.
Yeah. The other idea is that, you know, one thing that actually keeps me going pretty well is, like, there's always going to be somebody who's going to try and take your crown, right?
Yeah.
I believe it was a quote in Peaky Blinders, same thing. Like, everyone is out there trying to take your crown. And if you're not fighting every single day for it with the micro battles, it's going to lead into a big, you know, failure of a war, right? And I mean, take a look at, for example, Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. Yeah, they're the top players, but they also have to maintain their positions up there, because there's someone working in a very, probably a small country, right, working their butt off every single day, because one day they want to become that person. And so, you know, it's easier for them to maintain what they're doing, but it's still a lot of work. And someone one day is going to try and take their crown, and it's just going to happen. You know what I mean? But what drives them is that they have the experience and knowledge to continue moving forward, right? They have the drive, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. I think football is a great example, because you look at some of the players, especially the Brazilian players who had, like, Ronaldo, Ronaldinho, and a lot of them, while they had this amazing talent, they never achieved the longevity that Messi and Ronaldo did, because they didn't have the mindset for the hard work. They wanted to party as well. And you see that difference in them. So it's a perfect example of how you need to keep on your game if you want to be at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you find managing, you know, potential distractions, David, or, you know, getting pulled from, you know, your friends that maybe have been school and college, not on the same journey as you? I would obviously, I'm sure a lot of them, you know, you've proceeded perhaps the level that they're on, and maybe getting sidetracked or influenced, or, you know, as you go through your journey, you'll meet others. Can you identify, I assume that you're very competent in identifying the ones that, you know, will hold you back, and, you know, try and stay away from that and stay focused on on what it is that you're doing and what you've built, the business that you've built. How do you find them? How do you approach that, and how do you deal with that? Constantly, it sounds.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, it's never a set thing that once you hit it, you know, you don't have to deal with it anymore. You will always have to deal with friend groups and FOMO and making sacrifices and decisions of where you want to put your priorities. That's an ongoing battle. So as long as, you know, you create a system that allows you to set priorities straight, then that'll support you. But I think what I've noticed over the years, now for me, I'm a very extroverted guy. I feel like I'm very outgoing, and I like to be out and about. I don't like to necessarily always sit at home and kind of do nothing. But for me, it's always been a challenge of FOMO, right? The fear of missing out. You know, my friends are all hanging out without me, or there's something going on at this bar or something like that, or my friends want to go on a trip, right? But I, because, you know, they all have normal jobs. I have a business that, you know, runs on Saturdays and Sundays. What it really comes down to is, if you understand the journey and the satisfaction you get from the journey, you start to prioritize that over anything else, because you see the long term. You know how big your vision is, right? But what's going to be required is that a lot of people don't estimate what will be required. It's very underestimated, right? And the level of sacrifice and compromise is going to be very great. I was listening to a training yesterday about this, and complacency creates compromise, right? When you are complacent and you allow things to slip, you are compromising what you're trying to get to. You're giving it up, right? So like, ask yourself, I mean, will you keep the same stories that you keep telling yourself, or the same excuses, right? And then also think of yourself of like, when are you lacking that hunger and drive, right? Are you operating from a state of complacency or a place of vision, right? Because one thing to remember is the greater the levels that you're trying to hit, the greater the level of sacrifice needed to get there. So what are you willing to sacrifice, right? Because 1 to 3 years alone can actually set you way farther than where you currently are. 1 to 3 years alone of just pure focus and saying no more than yes will set you way farther than where you're currently at, right? And then the other thing is, people have a lot of fear of losing friends. So what got you to where you currently are will not get you to where you're trying to go. That's the same in business. That's the same in personal life, right? What got you here won't get you to where you're trying to go. So I'm not saying to kick out your friends, but you can slowly distance yourself. You can monitor the time and attention you put into them, right? Because if you're self-aware enough, when you hang out with these people that don't benefit you, you'll realize the certain things that they say and do that will change the behavior that you do outside of hanging out with them. For example, some of the things that they eat, or their spending habits, or their exercising habits, right? If they just, you know, neglect the smallest thing, like not taking vitamins. Whereas if you stayed in a house of high performing people who work out every single day, okay, you start to gain that habit, right? Or as if you see, one thing that I've learned over the years is I used to have really bad spending habits. So one of my friends, when, you know, we would go out to just the store, he wouldn't purchase little things, and he would just save his money because he doesn't need them. It's not that he's being cheap or anything. He just doesn't see the value in it. So I started to develop that habit over time because it was just that little thing. And now I make decisions for like my finances based off of that. So you really do have to pick your friends wisely, and also pick who you say no to and who you say yes to. So that's going to determine a lot of the factors for your own personal life, whether you agree with it or not, but you'll start to see it over time because it's always a compounding effect.
Nowadays, struggling with health issues has become so common that we've started to accept it as an inevitable part of aging. 95% of the world's population today suffer with some kind of health issue, and over a third of all people have 5 or more health conditions. Now, despite the prevalence, this is not normal. The majority of the main culprits, like diabetes, hypertension, cancer, heart disease, autoimmune and bowel conditions, they were pretty much unheard of just 100 years ago. Now, with all the technology and medical advances we've made, shouldn't our health be getting better, not worse? 100 years ago, we didn't have the medications we have access to now, yet health was much better. How can this be? The answer is that these are all lifestyle and metabolic conditions. They're caused by our diet, environment, medications, and how we're living our lives. Yes, it all sounds pretty bleak, but there is some good news. These conditions are all reversible. By changing the very things that caused them, we can reverse these health conditions and get back to being healthy. Now, to achieve this, we use a natural, holistic approach to optimize every area of your life, from your diet, your sleep, exercise, environment, and more. By doing this, we avoid the need for any medications that always come with harmful side effects. In fact, medical negligence is the third highest cause of death worldwide, and a lot of the current health epidemic is conditions that are caused by the very medicines that are supposed to be helping. There's a steady pattern of the more medications you take, the sicker you get, and all they do is cover up the symptoms but never deal with the actual cause. We like to concentrate on root cause healing, getting to the bottom of what's causing your health issues and rectifying that first. Now, if you spent years in the medical system, your health steadily declining, getting frustrated, and on more and more medications, maybe it's time for a change. Why not try a different approach and see what we can do for you? The majority of medications you'll put on are for life, and you just have to accept it. You do not need us for life. Our approach is one of education. We teach you how to take control of your health on your own so you never need to rely on any other person or medication again. The long-term solution is not us, it's you. For more information, visit our website, healthwealthuk.com, where you can book a free discovery call with an expert health coach. And let's get optimal together.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. You have to be careful about who you have around you because, you know, as they say, you become the sum of the five people around you, and you have to take charge of your, you know, design your own reality that you want. And if you want to optimize your life, having these people around you that are toxic or negative, or as you say, you're picking up bad habits from, that's not going to help you. So I think it is something that you need to address. And everyone knows, like, you know, people even say, they'll even joke about, oh yeah, you know, these friends are a bad influence on me and stuff, but then they still hang around with them. It's, yeah, you know, you've got to decide, as you said, you know, you said about decide what you're willing to sacrifice to get there. And there's sacrifice involved in everything. So if you're not willing to sacrifice that, don't expect to get to where you want to. You know, it's, and things take time. I just wanted to ask you, you know, obviously you said about 7 years that you've been running your marketing business, and you were obviously putting time into that and doing college as well. How long did it take for you to really start to see success with that? Was it quite a journey?
It's a good question. So when I first started, it was promotional videos for local businesses. And, you know, we were making a bit of cash at 16, 17 years old. But then I do remember I took a bit of a break off of it. And then I started to see videos like from Ty Lopez and whatnot, Gary Vee. And that's when I started to get into it. I think because I really ingrained my brain with that influence. And every day I would be watching these videos. So like my focus went off of the social media, went off of like the BS things that you would normally do as a high schooler, and instead put most of your focus into stuff like that. And then once I realized that there's more work to be done, you tend to build that muscle the more and more you push. So your tolerance for focus and your tolerance for work start to increase. And so it just becomes a habit. And so, you know, one of the things that is difficult for people at a young age is focus, is attention. It's like, where do you put your time and attention into? And whatever you focus on will create that energy to it. So when I started to focus on, you know, actually growing the business and getting clients, things started to actually take off. And so I met this one real estate investor here in Jersey, and he's one of my first mentors besides my father, but I would focus a lot on actually building funnels and running ads and actually starting to write copy. And he was my first 4-figure client because I would charge anything like below $1,000 at the time. And then I ran him a bill that was like $5,000. And that was when everything changed because I knew it was possible, right? Because I focused all that time and effort onto that skill. And that's when things changed realistically.
Amazing. Just on that, David, when you were on that journey and you were transitioning from making that small money then onto the bigger clients, what was your energy like? Because I've heard, you know, the term about people who are working their way up, they have like, you can either have a calm energy in the chaos, or you can have desperate energy where you're trying to do too many things, probably overexerting yourself. Then you start getting affected by procrastination. What was your sort of way of dealing with that, and the more responsibilities that you ended up taking on? Was there a desperate energy, or was there a sort of calmness and a methodical approach to it, mm-hmm. if that makes sense?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when I first started signing bigger end clients, I I don't tell people how much I make. There's just no need for me to do that. I know, you know, a lot of people do that. They post on social media. I typically don't do that. But I do have this one group of friends that we all do the same thing. So it would only be appropriate. It's kind of a normal thing that we would say, hey, I signed this client, you know, this much and whatever. It's just a normal thing. So it's not like, you know, anyone's here to show off or brag or anything. It's just how we operate. And so what we would always do is like, oh, just sign a client, just sign one, this. And it was like a new thing for us at the time because we were still kind of new into business. And, you know, we would celebrate each other's wins. But then over time, that kind of died down because that's a normal thing for us. Whereas if you didn't do it, it's like, okay, something's wrong, right? Like, you know, you're not doing something that you're supposed to be doing. And so I think that's when I realized like we're actually moving up in the world where we don't really celebrate that as much anymore because it becomes normal. And once you treat signing clients as a normal behavior, anything before that becomes like previous, I don't know the word for it, but like previous behavior that like, okay, you're at this level. If you're not signing clients, you're moving down. It's an indicator, right? But when you start signing clients, you're kind of maintaining, right? And then I guess the next level is hiring team members, right? And then charging more. And stuff like that. So there's a lot of indicators that help me realize the different points in the journey that I'm in. But there has been a lot of stressful moments. I mean, sometimes clients will come in with a refund, right? And we never anticipated it. So, you know, you'll have that, but then you'll also just have a lot of workload that comes in. So I remember we onboarded at the time, this was a lot, like 4 clients at once. And we didn't even have the team to write the copy, to build the funnels. And we were just backed up because we guaranteed that their systems would be up and running within like 7 days. And for one client, that's easy. But like for 4 with no team or people who have the skill for that, that's a lot of work, right? So yeah, that's when the sacrifice comes in, right? So, you know, no more going out. You have to just focus because these clients can pull back at any time, right? And so you have to figure out like what's more important to you. So the other thing to, you know, to realize is stress is normal. Stress is part of the process and stress will come. There's no way of avoiding it. And I think, you know, there's a bit of a saying that I sometimes say to like my friends is like, it's been a busy week. It's been a stressful week, but you know what, like looking back at the journey, it's exactly where I wish I was. And I think that's so important to remember for anyone is like you wished to be in this position. And it's not going to come for free. It's going to come at a price. And it's really about how you manage that stress, right? And something like small for me is just actually hanging out with my friends on the weekend or taking a drive somewhere. So I found something that changes my mindset a little bit than sitting here at this desk every single day and actually appreciating the little things in life. Whereas you don't have to go on all these crazy vacations and all that stuff, but you know, find the little things that stand out to you and make you happy. And don't do too much of it because then you're just fluctuating your focus and stuff like that, but do it in little increments, you know, go take a little drive, right, during the day, 10-minute drive, 15-minute drive or something like that. And for me, it's just done really well with managing that stress and all that stuff. So.
Yeah. Like you say, stress is unavoidable. And especially if you want to be successful in something, there's going to be stress, especially in business. And it's how you deal with it, like you said, finding ways to deal with that and just not letting it get on top of you too much. And just accepting that, like you said before about sacrifice, you know, you're going to have to make sacrifices. You know, are you willing to do that? Great. You're also going to be under stress. You know, are you willing to do that? And if you want to be successful in any area of your life, that's financial, health, and relationships, you are going to have to make sacrifices and you're going to have to deal with stress. And so it's dealing with that. So, you know, you found shutting off for a bit, seeing your friends or going for a drive, that works for you. I think it's important that people can find those things. And while we're talking about stress, obviously, you said before about you had health issues the other year and things with your tonsils. So run us through a bit of that, because obviously when you've got so much going on as well and on this business, a health issue like that can be a huge stressor on everything you're doing, which then makes it worse. So run us through what happened with that.
Yeah. So roughly around this time, February of last year, I had something going on with my tonsils. We never really figured out what it really was, but doctors would toss me left and right. I think it lasted about 4 months. And it was like a very, very amplified sore throat. So very difficult to eat, very difficult to speak. And at the time I was the only person taking the sales calls for my business. And so obviously I can't do that. Right. So within from like stretching, it would be from October to end of January, roughly February, 4 or 5 months of just, you know, a lot of back and forth with the doctors, and they wanted to prescribe a lot of like antibiotics. And obviously I'm not really about that. So, you know, it was a big journey of figuring out a lot of natural remedies and reading about the body and really understanding it. So in all honesty, someone can come out of that situation of complaining that they wasted a lot of time. And my business actually did take a big hit, but I came out of that situation realizing how a lot of the foods that we eat are altered, right? Are processed and just not the healthiest. And I also realized how the body functions with the immune system, right? And how certain things can affect your certain behaviors, right? And your certain performance. And also that my business cannot run without me. So like if I were to step out unexpectedly, there would be a problem at the time. But, you know, if I was able to prepare for that, we wouldn't have that problem. But I think one of the biggest things I learned is how your body reacts to certain things. And a lot of the foods that we eat are not always the cleanest, right? And so that's why home cooked meals are by far one of the best, because you know what's going into your body. Whereas, yeah, it may look like normal pizza, but God knows where they got those ingredients from, how processed they were, what chemicals have been inside of it. And at the time, it may seem like it's not a big of a problem, but the more and more you consume that stuff, the more your performance goes down, the more you know, health issues you start to accumulate. Now, I'm not saying that's what it came from. I have no idea what, you know, this situation came from. We still haven't figured it out. But I mean, time and time again, we went to all these different doctors, and, you know, one of them was recommending to get my tonsils out and all this stuff. And then I kept getting second opinions and whatnot. And I still have my tonsils to this day because I actually did the research on my body, started to eat much healthier. And obviously I focused on my faith a lot more and was talking to God about this stuff. And I think that's what really, really changed the game for me. It's just optimizing. And it could have been stress too. We never know. But what I did realize is I tried to work when I could, but I did focus on getting a lot more sleep and taking a bit of time off, because that was a very, very hectic part of the year for the business. So it could have been a lot of factors, but I think what really did help me out is doing the research on my food, taking rest, and just paying attention to what goes inside of my body. So
yeah, absolutely. That's the issue with doctors, is that they're mainly trained to just prescribe medicines or as you said, remove body parts, which they always want to do. You know, they don't understand these other things about the body and about nutrition and things like that. And that's the issue. And that's because they're not trained in it. I'm not criticizing doctors. That they know what they're taught.
Yeah.
Which isn't that. But you know, as you say, we like to look at health holistically, and you have to take into account all parts. And you know, it could well have been stress. I was gonna say that to you, because stress can cause a lot of things. And you know, if you're going all out on one thing and then your physical health goes down, then you can't do the business. It's about balancing, isn't it? And finding those things which you seem to be doing now. I know you mentioned sleep, which huge of stress. What kind of things have you been doing to optimize your sleep? Because that's an important one.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because I was just thinking about that. But I think, you know, for me, my most productive hours of the day is from like 10 p.m. to like 1 a.m., right? And while it does help me in the short term, doesn't help me in the long term, because I'll wake up, you know, eyes are super like groggy, have like dark circles, and just doesn't, you know, look good on camera, stuff like that. But then I also wake up at a later time. And when I'm working out, my body doesn't have time to recover with such little sleep. So you may not feel it in the short term, but in the long term, it definitely does diminish your performance and your level of focus. And, you know, focus is so underrated these days, because it's so easily manipulated with social media and taking all of your attention, right? But what you really need to do is to optimize your sleep by sleeping earlier and, you know, waking up at a decent time. Now, everyone's different. Everyone's body is trained differently, is born differently. But what has worked for me is setting my ego and pride aside and saying, you don't need to work until like 12 a.m., 1 a.m., because there's another day that you can put some work in. So if you sleep a couple extra hours instead of like six, you can sleep like eight, for example, you'll wake up and you'll feel more productive. That's just me personally. Everyone is different. But what I've noticed is when I go to sleep around, I'll shut everything off around 9, 10 o'clock. And my mind is still kind of buzzing. So what I'll do is I'll throw on something like Netflix or can do whatever else. And people tend to throw shade at that, like, stop wasting your time on Netflix. But that's a different conversation, because that's where, if you're trying to build something and you're not where you kind of want to be yet, you know, don't waste your time on Netflix. But for me, what it does is it disconnects from the mindset of that I have when it comes to working, because I won't be able to sleep if I'm still thinking about work or listening to a podcast about business, right? Before I sleep. So my mind's going to be rushing and it's not going to be in a relaxing mode. So what I like to do is I'll, you know, watch a show on Netflix for like an hour and then sleep from there. The other thing that I've noticed can actually work is I use an app called brain.fm, and it basically puts your brain in a different frequency, right? So, you know, your brain works on different levels of frequency for when you're working or when you're active, when you're doing creative work, when you're trying to relax. And when you put your brain in the, I forget which one it was, but in a different level of frequency for when you're about to sleep, it'll calm everything down, right? And you're actually able to fall asleep much faster. Now, I would definitely consult with the doctor about this, but that's what's worked for me. And I think the big thing is like disconnecting from the desk, being able to sleep at an earlier time rather than pushing, you know, for late nights and then waking up and then actually working out in the morning. It's tough. It's a lot of mental strength to do that, especially when you wake up and it's about 20 degrees Fahrenheit in the morning. But you know what? You feel good after that, right? So you don't think about the decision you want to do. You just do it at the end of the day.
Yeah,
definitely. And, you know, like you said, you made the point there that, you know, you feel, and I went through this as well when I was really busy for a while, that you feel like getting the work done and staying up late is better because I need to get it done. But as you said, when you optimize yourself and you optimize your sleep, you know, you said your exercise in the morning, because you're so much more focused and your mind's working better, you can get more work done the next day. And so you have to kind of just accept that, just, okay, I'm better off optimizing myself so I can work better tomorrow rather than doing those couple extra hours where you know, obviously you said you worked well in the evening, but for some people, those extra few hours, they'll hardly get anything done anyway because they're struggling and their brain's tired. So I think it's just optimizing that. And, you know, like you said, with Netflix, you were using it as a tool to shut your mm-hmm. mind off. So that's, as you say, a different situation to someone who sat watching Netflix all day. And it's finding those things where you can just shut off and get your brain ready to sleep. Sleep's huge, you know, lining up, as you said, you've been lining up with your circadian rhythm, getting to bed earlier, waking up at a regular time. Exercise in the morning is brilliant as well to get you up and going and your brain ready for the day. So all of these things, they all benefit and affect, you know, your business actually runs better because you had more sleep and you optimized yourself. So people have to, mm-hmm. again, look at the bigger picture.
Yeah. I think also I wanted to optimize my sleep. So I got the Whoop band for a little bit, and it helped me to understand how the REM cycle works for my body. And so I believe it's like an hour, hour and a half each cycle. And when I would sleep at 10 versus 12, that's an extra cycle of REM that I would get. So like if I were to sleep at 12 and wake up at like 7 or 8 versus sleeping at 10, wake up at 7 or 8, I would notice a big difference because I got an extra level of, or an extra cycle of REM of, you know, sleep versus not getting an extra cycle, right? So, you know, if you're able to get a tracker like that to actually take a look at the stats and look at the numbers, you could see the trends and, you know, you can go to sleep at different times and see how you perform on certain days. So, you know, if you have that for a little bit and look at the trends and look at the numbers, it'll definitely help you for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, it's because when you're not lined up with your circadian rhythm as well, it affects your sleep quality, which is important as well as quantity. If you're going to bed really late, even if you're still sleeping 8 hours and getting up later, your quality won't be as good as before. And if you're not shutting off before and things like that, so it all adds up. I mean, it's a regular theme running through this, is that those little small changes, they add up into the big picture, don't they? Again, with the sleep, just little changes, optimizing that's helping your business too. You're more focused, your mindset's clearer, and everything just adds up to improving your life.
Yeah.
Just going back to what you were saying about working later and being more competent, you know, your energy getting more later on in the day, you being able to work from, you know, 10 at night, you know, for a few hours, that was your best time of working. That is similar to me. But now I'm trying to scale that back and say, right, I've got up till 10:30 and that's it. So now I've got more impetus and a bit more urgency during the day to get my tasks done, because after that, you know, it's closed for business and it's, you know, it's sleep time. So that, I think that's something that helps me personally. I don't know if you had the same sort of mindset, you know, to actually get that feeling and that sense of urgency a bit earlier in the day, or maybe, you know, a trigger to make that happen, so that when it does come to 9, 10 o'clock, you actually feel a bit more relaxed or satisfied with, you know, what you've done that day, and that you can actually allow your mind to switch off.
Yeah, I think what's important is to have a lot of awareness of when your highest levels of energy are. For me, I've noticed it's usually around 10 a.m. to about 2 p.m. highest levels of energy. So what I would do is I would put the highest leverageable, or the highest needed tasks around those times, because that's when I could focus the most, and that's when I can crank out work and just be productive. And then after that, I would, you know, grab a snack, and obviously food would sometimes make me groggy depending on what I eat. And so then I would put secondary or like a tier two task under that, right? So I'm optimizing it based off of where my energy is throughout the day. And then if I really need to like sit down, put my headphones in, put on brain.fm and write out some copy, I would possibly do that at night, because now people are coming home. They're kind of spending time with family. They're not really on their phone. Clients are not really messaging us. So I don't have any distractions. So that's why for me at that time, that's when I would write copy, or I would do, you know, something else, for example. So it really just comes down to being aware of where your energy levels are throughout the day based off of what you're doing, and then optimizing your productivity based off of that.
Yeah.
And strategizing. It's a very good strategy. Find the best strategy for you.
And
build that strategy around where, when in the day your energy is the most high, is the most, you know, prevalent, you know, so very effective.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what's been interesting for me is that when I move my phone outside of my visibility or a room, I get a lot more productive because it's not there. It's not there to concern me. So, you know, you'll get a lot more done with 2 hours of pure focus and no distractions versus like 4 to 5 hours of little distractions here and there. And so, you know, if you're trying to get things done, just get rid of the phone. Stop having the FOMO. Get things, like, just, you know, there's no other strategy or secret to it. I mean, that's your number one distractor. You can get all the important notifications through your laptop for the most part. I mean, you know, if you use Slack, or, you know, what I also have is I can turn on my focus and only let certain notifications come through that are important. So like my parents, my sister, those are the top three most important contacts. And God forbid there's an emergency, I need to know about it. So when I'm in my work zone, they're the only three contacts that can contact me at that time. And usually they're always working. So it's, you know, it's not like they're sending a bunch of, you know, texts going in and out. But if I'm worried about that situation, I can always fix it. So I can, just like what I explained, I can let those notifications come through and I don't have to worry about anything else for the most part. So,
yeah, phones are a blessing and a curse, aren't they? They give us access to so much, but they can be such a distraction. It kind of sounds like what you're doing. Do you use some of the concepts of deep work where they, you know, they kind of, I've looked at that a bit, where they shut everything off and do a couple hours like that?
Yeah. Do you mean in terms of the book, Deep Work?
Yeah.
I have it. I read a little bit of it. But for the most part, yeah. Yeah. I mean, just shut the distractions off. Like,
yeah,
it's the easiest lever to pull.
Yeah.
And get into the flow state.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, once you, I think I was watching Alex Becker or Iman Gadzi about this, one of them, but they were saying it takes 15 to 30 roughly minutes for the brain to get into that flow state. So once you're in, you can go for, you know, a pretty long time.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to get into it, right? So when you take a break, then you reset it and then you got to get back into it. So you can either choose to take a break, scroll through social media, but then you got to get back into that flow state. So it's like, how much time do you really have? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Better to keep it going and optimize it. So let's talk a little bit. Obviously, you spoke before about when you had the thing with your tonsils and you started looking at health, and you talked about diet a bit. So, you know, how have you found changing up your diet and optimizing your diet? How has that helped you in terms of your focus and your business as well?
It's a good question. So, so I would take a lot more care of what I actually ate. So a lot more home cooked meals. So I'm Middle Eastern. So my mom just loves making Middle Eastern meals. So that's one thing. And then I actually got into green juices a lot more. So my favorite one is actually celery, green apple, ginger, lemon, a little bit of cayenne pepper, and pear, cucumber. So just all as a green juice, mix it and just kind of consuming it. There was a book that I actually learned that from. I forgot the name of it. It was like something with the word cleanse in it, like juice cleanse or like something cleanse. I'll find it on Amazon, but it talked about doing a cleanse with your body and how certain bodies react differently, and that your gut is actually like your second brain. So a lot of what you feed your gut is going to determine your performance. And, you know, if so, like we can eat a lot of carbs in the US and you'll feel groggy. But if you go somewhere like Italy, for example, which I've heard to be the most common place, you can eat as much carbs as you want and you won't feel what you feel in the US because there's not a lot of preservatives there. Preservatives are, you know, just toxic for your gut health, right? So everyone's different. And I think once you learn how to optimize your gut health, you'll be able to optimize your performance. So that's that. And then again, with the juices, so I, you know, I love doing that. And then what I've realized is taking vitamins and working out is really, really, really healthy, and doing different levels of workout, right? So yeah, you can lift weights, but lift weights with heavier intervals, that's one. And then also doing like HIIT workouts, right? High intensity, because you up your cardio, which increases your heart rate, which increases your blood flow, right? And so one of the big things about your immune system is the amount of blood, right? White blood cells, T cells, for your immune system. So to be able to back that up with a good diet and good nutrition, you build a really, really powerful body. Now, everyone has different things going on with their health situation. So generally speaking, that's what I found to actually help me.
Yeah. And you're completely right with the gut. So the gut and the brain are completely linked, and your gut health is responsible for your brain health. And if your gut's in poor condition, your brain will be too. That, you know, you can't separate them. As you say, they call it the second brain in your gut. And so, yeah, what you eat has a huge effect on how you are and how you feel. And like you said, you can, you know, obviously we're in the UK, but, you know, if you have a meal here, which is, you know, carb filled or especially with processed foods in, you can't focus or concentrate after that on anything, you know, you feel it. Yeah. So yeah, it's the gut health is really important. Yeah.
There was a saying that one of my early mentors told us that was, if mindset and biology got into a fight, biology will win. You could fight as long as you want with your mindset, but it's your biology that's going to take over. That's why it's so crucial to always be able to optimize it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is true. It's why it's, you know, you need that holistic approach of everything. Like you say, if you have the best mindset in the world and, you know, you're putting everything into your business, but if you don't take any care of your health, your physical and mental health, it's going to break down eventually and it's going to catch up with you. So you have to look at everything from a holistic point. So in terms of what would a standard day look like for you in terms of your routine, in terms of your eating, your exercising, your working, like how are your days set up? I imagine they're not all the same, but like an average day.
Yeah. This is a good question, because I think there's a big misconception that there is the perfect routine, right? And you know, a lot of these big entrepreneurs make videos about like my perfect or my $1 million routine, right? And everyone thinks that if they follow it, you know, it'll help them be successful. One thing I will say is, from my experimenting and my discovery, is that do the routine that helps you perform the best, because everyone's body is different. So a lot of the times I'll usually test waking up earlier, getting work done right away, or waking up earlier and going to the gym, eating, and then getting work done. It really just depends. For me, my current routine has been waking up around 7-8 o'clock, going to the gym, shower, quick breakfast, and then jumping on my meetings. That's the morning. And then for the most part, the majority of the day are meetings, sales calls, et cetera. But then in between, I'll do a little bit of client fulfillment. Towards the night, I'll also continue with fulfillment, because that's good focus hours that I've noticed. I've also tested of waking up and getting to work right away, and then working out at night, roughly around 8-9 o'clock. And sometimes that'll be helpful, sometimes not. I've noticed it to be less helpful recently, because my energy goes up at night and it's harder for me to fall asleep. Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of the other times I did do night workouts was because that's when the gym was empty, and I like an empty gym. I don't like it full, because within like 4 to 6, 7 o'clock, it's the heftiest hours. And so that was one of the reasons, but I've tested everything. And I think what would be helpful for people who want to optimize a routine for themselves is test different things for a good amount of time. Don't test it for one day or for 7 days, test it for a couple months and see how your performance is, and use actual numerical data to test that, right? Like if you have a Whoop, you could check your stress levels. You could check a lot of the aspects that it's tracking to see which routine that you built is going to help you optimize a lot better. Which one allows you to get better sleep, right? Which one shows that your energy was the highest throughout the day? So, you know, my biggest advice for people who want to build a routine is figure out what works best for you, right? But for me, I mean, it's been recently of just like waking up, don't think, just do, get into the gym. Because when I come back, I feel a lot better. I feel more competent, right? I look good, right? Look good, feel good kind of thing. And so that's what's really been, you know, really good for me recently.
Yeah, I think self-experimentation is key. Where I advise, you know, people should always do that in everything. Always be looking to experiment and try different things and find what's the best for you. And yeah, I think I've found similar to you. I think with myself that exercise in the morning works best for me. I normally, some days I will eat in the morning, but a lot of days I find I get more done if I don't eat until the evening. And just won't eat till then. But yeah, exercise in the morning definitely is better. For exercising later on affects most people's sleep, so that's definitely a benefit. I mean, Barry, what kind of routine have you found works best for you?
Yeah, well, I've mentioned a few times about big on morning workouts. I think it was the last time. That's the first thing I'll do just when I get up is those 25 push-ups. Mm. I know it's not much, but it just gets the blood going. And then I'll go and, you know, wash my face or whatever, and then I'll do a morning workout after that. It's just that initial 25 push-ups, quick bit of stretching, and then work out in the morning. Gets the blood moving, gets your focus, makes you feel more focused, you feel more, it gives your body something else to think about. You know, the physical pain sort of replaces the tiredness or the grogginess that you might feel. Even though if you're getting good quality sleep, you shouldn't feel that. But we all feel a little bit like that sometimes. But the physical pain and putting your muscles under the stress replaces that, and then you start to get that after the workout, whether it's 10, 15, 20 minutes, or it's a session at the gym, your energy, your is vastly increased, your focus is vastly increased. So yeah, I'm very big on the morning workouts, and if it's lunchtime as well, I have found is a bit of a sweet spot. I have experimented with that and it seems to be working quite well. But in the evenings, I do not want to go beyond 7 o'clock. You know, as David said, it's any later than that, you find it difficult to switch off mentally, which is what you want to be doing as you get closer to sleep. So that's what I've found in agreement.
So all pretty similar, but you know, as we say, it's finding those things that work for each person. So listen, David, we're not running out of time. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but for I wanted to especially specify this for younger people. Obviously, you started off super young. You know, you're still young. This advice could be taken by anyone, but especially for younger people, what are kind of some of the main things they could start doing to try to implement that mindset that you had, or the mindset that they need to be successful? What can they start to do in their lives?
It's a great question. So, health is number one, right? Get in the gym, start eating properly, and have a consistent schedule at minimum. Consistency is going to be the foundation of every single thing in your life that you do. It's a compounding effect. And to actually start seeing results takes a bit of time. So, once you're able to build better lifestyle habits, they'll transcend into your business habits, right? Because how you do one thing is how you do everything, right? So definitely set some goals in terms of habits for yourself and start moving towards those. The next thing I would do is to start learning a high income skill, something like copywriting, something like sales. Those are two one of the best that I would recommend. Marketing as well. No matter what you're trying to do, because I mean, marketing is it's needed for any type of business. And once you understand marketing, you can understand how to grow it, because sales is the lifeblood of any business, right? So if you don't know how to sell, you don't have a business. But I would try and learn a very high income skill, something like the ones I just mentioned. And if you can find a mentor or someone to just stick yourself to learn directly from them, even if it's for free, I would recommend doing it. There's such a like mirage of making the most amount of money when you're young and new that people neglect the fact that they have to learn the skill and get the experience. And it's such a terrible thing. And that's why a lot of people are not successful, because they don't have the skill, they don't have the experience. And but if you do, you're able to build something really well. I mean, take a look at Elon Musk, for example. Yeah, it's a big example, but he has the experience and knowledge of building billion-dollar companies. And so he can get one built within a year, a billion-dollar company. But for you to come in and do it, right, for anyone who's listening who doesn't have the skill, it would take him 40 years, right? Because you have to first build that skill, build the network, right? And that experience. So what's really going to stop people from becoming successful is competency, right? Being competent in a certain level of skill set. So going back to it, I would recommend optimizing your health and your habits, and then figure out one high income skill and stick to that for a minimum of 6 to 12 months, because you'll go deep down the rabbit hole and you'll actually figure out the certain things that actually drive the needle forward versus just the surface level things.
I think that's absolutely brilliant advice. I think everyone should take that on board. And as I said, specified for those younger people who want to be successful, but anyone at any point of life can take those things on board and start to implement it. And that's going to improve their life. You know, that's guaranteed. So, David, thank you so much for coming on and for giving us your time. I hope you've enjoyed yourself.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
No problem at all. And thank you again, Barry, for being here.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Ryan. Thanks for having me. Great to be on again. And it was great to hear David's story. There's a lot of wisdom there, especially from, you know, one so young. So thanks, David, for coming on, and really enjoyed the discussion.
Yeah, awesome. And David, just before you go, where can people find you online if they want to, you know, connect with you and see what you're up to? Where can they find you?
Yeah. Usually it's all under the same username. So just at David Balaji, B-A-L-J-I. I'm usually most active on Instagram, will be more active on YouTube soon as well. So
awesome. Well, we'll put those links in the show notes anyway, for if anyone wants to catch up with you. Thank you once again. And for everyone, we will see you again next week for another episode. And let's get optimal together.